You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, it is Monday. Monday across America and around the world we go because of the interwebs. And Mondays are tough, but we do have a full crew here. Bo Hansen here in the studio with me, recovered from his, what do we want to call this? Hold on. We would call it the Hunchback of Notre Dame-ism, because you looked like the Hunchback. Welcome back, actually.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
David Masters in his studio.
I wouldn't say that. I don't think he looks like the Hunchback. He looks like some kind of rotted vegetable.
That too. Yeah. That too.
I feel like a snake. I feel like I shedded a whole layer of skin.
Yeah, there you go.
That too.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to everybody watching and welcome to all the listeners listening around the radio stations around the country. We thank all our radio station affiliates for taking the program. And we have a new backdrop. It's kind of cool. Can you see it, David? Looks pretty good, right? It's a new old backdrop. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the,
I like that.
The same photograph, by the way, that is behind us, that is on like the Jay Leno show and other shows. It's basically the LA nightscape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had that for about 10 years. And we got in here this morning and took some incredibly sharp nails and nailed it into the concrete.
Yeah, it looks better than that drywall or whatever it was that was in the background. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, Monday. Did anybody watch the Super Bowl? I didn't.
I didn't either, but I did watch the very last 2 minutes where they won. The Rams won, so who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah.
The Los Angelians went out and rioted after their team won.
Come on.
Yeah, it's actually on our news batch today.
What is it with people?
What is it with
people?
Well, it's a tribalism, is what it is. It's basically tribal. Here it is right here. Streets of Los Angeles erupt in violence after Rams Super Bowl win.
Imagine if they would have lost.
Oh, God.
I mean, what?
Wow. I never even thought of that prospect. Jeez.
Oh, God.
Yeah, at least one person was shot as hundreds of fans and chaos seekers. Hey, there's a new one. I'm a chaos seeker. Wow.
Well,
give me some chaos. 1, 2, 3. They took to the streets. In addition, a bus was vandalized, and crowds set off dozens of fireworks illegally. There you go.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
What is the world coming to? What is the world coming to? Today is Valentine's Day.
Oh, it is.
What does
indeed.
That mean? Yeah. It's actually my eldest son's birthday. Well, happy birthday, Jason. He's 34 today. You're 34, aren't you?
Correct.
Same age as Bo Hansen here. Oh, to be 34 again. You know? I mean, anyway. This weekend, I worked. I worked and worked and worked. And we had a guy, I said, I said, we need to get this done. It might rain. And he says, I said, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. I'm going to work. He goes, I'm going to work. I don't care. So we were working the rest of the world. And we went to Costco for a few minutes to get a few little things. While the Super Bowl was on, it was a pleasant experience.
I imagine it would have been.
It was. There was like hardly anybody in there. I got your sweet potatoes, by the way.
Anyway, thank you.
Bo hunted himself a bird of some sort. I don't know if it's in season or not. But anyway, he's going to have a nice fowl dinner. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Anyway, damn things. Anyway.
By the way, you want to know what St. Valentine's Day is about?
Yes.
For all of those people who are wasting their money on flowers and chocolate, Valentine's Day, also called St. Valentine's Day or the Feast of St. Valentine, is celebrated annually on February 14th. It's originated as a Christian feast day honoring one or two early Christian martyrs named St. Valentine's. Now, it's not clear whether or not these two Valentines were martyred and when they were martyred, but this is what the Feast of St. Valentine is all about. It's a Christian occasion. And I don't think most people even really think about that in any way, shape, or form.
I tell you, it's back to that Pavlovian conditioning, right? Because Valentine's Day comes, the first thing you think of is flowers and chocolates, right? And not because you want to give them to the person that you want to give them to, because you want chocolate. That's exactly
there you go.
Right.
There you go. And you don't want to be You don't want to be behind the curve of disapproval. I was watching this weekend. I sometimes watch several of the programs on TBN. Good shows, by the way, Christian programs. And one of the messages was, does it really matter what the world thinks of you? And the answer is the only person, the personage that matters is our creator. It's the only person that should really matter who thinks what of you. But unfortunately, people are very motivated by the idea of being either criticized or chastised for not performing in the expected ways. Just think about that one.
A friend of mine called and he said, make sure you buy your wife some flowers. And I happened to be in Costco at that moment in time, walking by all these bouquets with my wife. And I says, no, she doesn't care about that. Although I will say, if it's an unexpected occasion,
yeah,
then she appreciates it, because then she knows it is because I simply want to do something kind and say, I'm thinking about you.
That's authentic, but if I do it on, in my opinion.
David, yeah. If I do it on Valentine's Day, it's obligation city.
That's right.
And I don't know. What do you think about it? You've probably had to partake in this. You've been married.
Yeah. It's just one of those holidays. I don't particularly celebrate holidays. So
no, I know. And you know what? Sadly, we have been so conditioned in life through our lives, through all types of, you know, strange conditioning that we don't really think is even conditioning. But the whole thing with Christmas, we totally forget what Christmas is, really what it's for. And even the word Christmas, really, it's, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ. And you don't, it's like you just don't, I don't know, you don't hear the average person talking about that. I know if you go to church, yes, they celebrate it a lot in the churches and what have you. But Christmas is an obligation, another obligation time of year. And if somebody gives you something, it's like, oh, no, I didn't buy Bo anything.
Yeah.
I can buy him some sweet potatoes.
There you go. You do research on any of these Catholic holidays, because it's all, you know, Roman Catholic Church that started all these holidays. And it happened to be around a lot of these pagan holidays, too, because they were trying to combine things. And you know how the Romans were just brilliant at combining cultures. And so, yeah, I don't really like to celebrate any holidays.
I just think that it's all designed just like... It's interesting if you think about, God said to Adam and Eve, he said, you can eat of all the plants and bushes and all the things in this garden, but not of this one tree, which is the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was forbidden. So eating, when we eat, and we're supposed to, you know, of course he says, eat this and remember me, right? Say a prayer, and whether it be quiet or out loud, that's your choice. But we eat to forget. We eat to forget our pain. We eat to forget our frustrations. Eating is really such an interesting thing. You can eat, which nourishes your body, or you can eat and make it a sin, gluttony. You know what I'm saying? Forgetting about it. The same with the holiday season. What do you look forward to? You know, the big turkey dinner or ham dinner or whatever religion dinner you get, you know, because everybody's got their own thing. Me with the Festivus, with the aluminum pole, Festivus for the rest of us. You know about that. It's from Seinfeld. Anyway, we get chips and dip. That's the Festivus meal.
There's a reason for that, and that's because most of the people on that cast and crew were Jewish.
Don't forget that.
Yeah.
But we do all these things, and we even celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, and we give each other gifts and with kind of this – you know, not everybody has an obligation. You know, some people just give it because they want to. But you really should give it, like my father's always told us, out of the blue, no obligation. Can I tell a quick story about what happened yesterday, David? I went to breakfast after the Sunday talk with my wife, and we went to this little cute little restaurant, and there's only like 8-9 tables in the whole thing, and we sat right next to this other couple. Like, they had to slam us in there, and I'm almost elbow and elbow with this other couple, young couple, and I was listening to their little conversation that was just kind of a sweet little thing going back and forth, and it was really cute, and I couldn't help but just look at the guy every now and then who's across from me. And when the bill came, I thought, I want to buy their breakfast just for no reason. I don't know these people. And then he put his credit card in the bill, and it went by, and I was like, dang it, I missed my opportunity. And he goes, oh, wait, I put the wrong credit card in there. And she brought it back, I grabbed the thing and I said, nope, here's your credit card. I'm buying your breakfast. And the guy goes, huh, really? And I go, yeah. I said, you know what? Pay it forward. Great. Now you do something nice. And it felt good. Did I do it for myself? I don't know. Did I do it for them? I don't know. I just kind of followed that little inclination to be kind and give for no reason. They couldn't pay me back because they don't know who I am. Anyway, that to me is Christmas. We'll be right back. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind, is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them, and you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. Time and time again, I have observed time and time again the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Okay, note to producer, eliminate that particular chunk of music. That grinds on me.
Boy, I really like that one. Let's keep it. I love that piece of music.
You know probably why? It somehow is on my phone, and every now and then when I plug my phone into a car or something, you hear that.
You're kidding. That's on your phone?
It's like, I don't know why.
Weird.
Maybe I was going to play music. I was doing a live event somewhere and I needed music. And so they downloaded a file and there it is. And, that
music. Oh, familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? Especially for music.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the music we have to play, because we're streaming live on the internet now, has to be licensed music. And so you're not going to hear all the kind of the fun bits and pieces that we used to play that are familiar songs to you, because now they're licensed music. 800-866-8883.
Hey, we got to put that on the screen.
I don't know if we can do that. Mike Jones, who's watching us and listening in, we need to make it to where we can put that on the screen. 800-866-8883.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to text him in the next commercial. Or maybe, well, David, somebody, Phil, can you text Mike Jones for me? And let him know that whatever we were going to do. What did I just say? I completely lost my train of thought.
You were going to say, David, what's that scripture that you found over the weekend?
What
it's so convenient.
It?
What's the scripture that you wanted to talk about that you found over the weekend?
Oh, I thought you said surfer. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, no. Kelly Slater turned 50 when just before he won the Pipeline.
Oh, geez, not the surfer.
Pro, yeah.
Go ahead.
No. 1 Corinthians 9:25. I love this because it was Super Bowl Sunday yesterday. So I call it the Super Bowl, by the way. I am not a sports type fan.
Yeah.
Bowel.
What is that
bowel.
Scripture then? What is it?
It is this. Everyone who competes in the games trains with strict discipline. They do it for a crown that is perishable, but we do it for a crown that is imperishable. I thought that was so beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Corinthians 9:25.
Do you have any complaint with that one?
No. Corinthians.
That's good.
No complaints.
Well, life is in a sense a game. Yeah.
Do we have any comments or anything yet? I don't know. I can't see anything on this screen today, which is probably good because I'm a terrible reader anyway.
Yeah, just some people saying good morning. And
So good morning for those who are watching the stream. Good evening for a lot of the radio stations, I hate to say, because that's the thing. We're around the world as well. So wherever you're watching or listening, if you want to listen to the show in the morning, 9:30 Pacific time on the West Coast, that is Pacific time, 9:30 a.m., is when we record the show, and then it airs on radio stations at all different time zones. So FYI, and 800-866-8883. Anyway, David, you have a lot of news, obviously, the week. I would just say a big shout-out to those Canadian truckers who continue fight the good fight, and I have such tremendous respect. They have put Canada on the map in such a dynamic way, in such a good way. It's going to take years and years for us to forget about this. This will be talked about for decades, I believe. And the longer they hold out, the more good they will do and the more trouble they may get in. But guess what? I believe that we have a just creator. And even though you may feel, listen, if you're Canadian and you're listening to this and you're in your truck right now, you may feel that, man, what are you? You're risking everything. God's got your back at the end of the day. You may have to go a little bit through hell, but you know what they say? When you're going through hell, keep going. So there you go. Weekend update.
That was Churchill, by the way.
That was that what
Winston
he said?
Churchill, yeah.
I did not know that. I thought it was Alan that said
that. Sir Alan Winston. Anyway. I want to go to one more scripture, and this is a compliment, because we can no longer equate Canadians with being limp-wristed. You know what I'm saying?
Were they?
That used to be the way that you would talk about somebody who was of the persuasion of being attracted to the same sex.
Really? But were the Canadians ever accused of that? I don't know.
But it was just a way of describing somebody in a polite way. Canadians are now the people, they are rock-ribbed. They have set an example for the world, and the whole world is following that example. It's happening in France. It's happening all over the world, all over Europe. People are done with being controlled. Mandates equal control. Then everybody sees it now. And so I want to read to you Ephesians 6:12, the armor of God. Listen to this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. And here's 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, although it sometimes is, but against the rulers. Now, there's your key right there. Thousands of years ago, it wasn't really any different back in the time when Jesus was walking the streets of Jerusalem and the other cities. Was it really any different? Has it ever really been any different that we can possibly imagine? It's never been different. So we have always been struggling against the rulers, against the authorities. Here's another one. Always the authorities are telling what we can and cannot do. Against the powers of this world's darkness and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's almost like an unholy trinity. So we're not struggling necessarily against the people because they're inhabited. Remember, Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're possessed. But we're struggling against the authorities, the rulers, and the powers of this world's darkness and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then 13, Ephesians 6:13 says, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, which is today, which is every day, you will be able to stand your ground. And that's what the Canadian truckers and the people of Canada and all over the world, including, you know, there was a warning over the weekend that truckers would try to stop the Super Bowl. Did you hear that one?
Yeah.
Everybody's getting in on it. It's fantastic.
They did open the bridge going from Canada to
U.S. with force.
With military force.
Yeah, I know. But listen, these things have to happen like that. And what happens is they have to maybe plan a little better. I don't know. Because they don't really plan. It's just everybody goes to one area. And I think that there is going to take some planning. The militia kind of a plan.
Well, and that's the thing. We have, where we live, we have militia.
Yeah.
You know, we have definitely different sections of Oregon State Militia, and then we have State of Jefferson Militia. And they definitely outnumber the law enforcement like 10 to 1. So
yep.
It'd be rather interesting when the time does come here, because the time is going to come here when we're going to have to make a stand and put on that full armor of God and actually have to put it into action.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing right now. Actually, it's nice to see. It gives me hope and faith. And God bless those Canadians and all those that are involved in the stand that they're making. We'll take a little break and come back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio, FHU.com on the web. Our live stream is on our YouTube channel for Foundation of Human Understanding. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, I guess the Army has decided that they're going to be discharging soldiers for refusing to get the XX shot. This is the Battlefront segment, and joining us right now is Colonel Monaco from PatriotOutreach.com and also the guerrilla lawyer, Reese Lloyd, who is a Vietnam-era Army veteran and testified as a constitutional expert before the U.S. House and Senate on behalf of the American Legion. So can I, first of all, Tony, maybe Colonel Monaco, you could tee it up for us, and then we'll run over to Reese Lloyd and get his thoughts on all this, if there's any kind of recourse. But go ahead, Tony.
Recently, there's been an quote-unquote, by their own words, discharge these warriors as expeditiously as possible, unquote. And the Army has at least 3,300. The Air Force has a couple of thousand. 600 Marine, sailor, and airmen have already been discharged from basic training. And the key point is there's been a tremendous rush to get these soldiers out. Now, most of you know I was a group commander, which means I commanded 5 battalion, 40 different units. And there is, in fact, my duty is to execute lawful orders. That's black and white. Maintain discipline, maintain readiness, black and white. But the kicker, I would have to say, is to discharge somebody for refusing, that seems to be excessive. And as being excessive, you know, you have to keep in mind there is no national emergency. There is no war. The vaccine is experimental. The punishment appears to be excessive. Because usually you would give someone an Article 15, reduce them a rank, and fine, you know, for things of that nature. Now, that's from a commander's point of view. Yes, we have to maintain, but I think they're using that excuse too liberally to say it's affecting readiness. I have questions on that. Right. Reese, do these soldiers have any recourse?
The soldiers are putting up a real battle now internally because the issues they're raised are profound, I believe. And there is a lawsuit pending in the United States District Court, Northern District of Texas, before the Federal District Court there was filed on behalf of the U.S. Navy SEALs versus Lloyd J. Austin III. And they're being represented by an outstanding firm that is the Freedom First Association of Texas. They have obtained a preliminary injunction by the district court.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And that injunction has frozen Biden's order establishing this policy. And the administration, the regime, has appealed to it from it, but we don't have any response at this time from the court. And so this means that during the entirety of the litigation, unless it's reversed, that Biden will be prohibited from enforcing this order that he has personally himself initiated. The First Liberty Group has also filed a First Amended class action complaint. At the present time, the lawsuit is brought by Navy SEALs, but it's under the motion for class action that would be all other military similarly situated, that which would be great. But this is an uphill battle. And it's placing these military people, these soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Force, and Space Force personnel in great jeopardy. And the other thing that's being fought over in one of the claims in First Liberty's lawsuit is that it's in violation of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was passed back in 1993 unanimously by the Congress, with only three people opposing it in the Senate. And what it provides is that sincerely held religious beliefs shall be protected. And this includes for those in the military. I think it's that there is substantial authority that Joe Biden's order is illegal. And that raises a whole other question for the troops. The military personnel are under a code of conduct. A code of conduct requires that a person in the military cannot carry out an illegal order. In other words, there's no Nuremberg defense. At the end of World War II, all of the people brought up in war crimes trials, they all testified, well, I was only following orders. Well, wow. In the United States military, they've taken the position that you are under a duty to refuse an illegal order. My position would be, as an attorney, but and also a veteran, would be this act by Joe Biden should never have been brought. And then now a dilemma is really created because military people are forbidden from carrying out an illegal order, have an affirmative duty to say no. And yet, if they say no to an order to take what I believe to be an illegal or at this point experimental injection, they can be thrown out of the service. The colonel pointed out to a number of people have been thrown out. There have been reports of at least 1,000 military purged out under the Biden policy. it has to be understood in regard to these, in addition to the excellent points that were raised by Colonel Monaco, it has to be pointed out that this is a modern army. This is no longer an army of draftees. And this is, all of these men and women have, out of patriotism, have volunteered to serve, risked their lives right. for us. And now being, if they're kicked out now, it's not just single guards like I was and Colonel Monaco was with joining at 17. Many of these troops are married. They have children. And their careers, they are going to be destroyed. The idea of putting them out of the service under dishonorable conditions, which apparently is the policy, it's, at least it hasn't wow. been stated otherwise, is just atrocious assault on the integrity of the military.
Let me ask.
It ought to be abandoned immediately.
This. Agreed. But what about recourse? What should they do? I mean, like I said, when you're going through hell, keep going. I mean, these guys are going through hell. Do they just keep going and wait until this, you know, kind of till the fallout is over and the dust is settled and they can get some sort of satisfaction where they can be restored?
Let me jump in for a second here.
Yeah. Okay.
Not too many people know it, and I know Reese can articulate it, but the Catholic Church has taken a stand that you can get an exemption, a religious exemption.
That's good.
That comes from the chaplain's corps. But in terms of do the mechanisms that exist within the military that do in the civilian employment, the answer is no. I mean, what would I do if somebody came to me in the private sector saying, I've been ordered to do this, working for the state, the county, cities, whatever? You can immediately file a grievance. You can pursue it there. You can't do that in the military. You can immediately file a lawsuit asking for relief. Well, some of those soldiers have done that. But they are at great risk unless and until they are real guarantees that they will not be discharged in a disorderly manner. Now, it has to be understood here, too, that if these guys are purged out and they have a dishonorable discharge and other lower forms, but not honorable, they are going to be denied VA services. They're going to be denied the medical care for themselves and their families that they now have. It's going to be gone. And they don't have a mechanism except to make this fight. And really, what they have to do or would greatly benefit them is for all of the public, all Americans, and especially veterans, to say, no, we're going to stand by these veterans who are on active duty right now and say no to Joe Biden, no to Joe Biden's purge. And these men should have the right, as in the private sector, they should have the right to reject it on sincerely held religious grounds, which is the basis of their claim before the courts.
I say no to Joe Biden. I say no to Joe Biden's purge. I think that he is, you know, Mr. Squiddly Diddly. He's just a puppet to the evil that is in this world right now playing. What is the best way for people to get a hold of you or somebody, or is it the patriotoutreach.org? Can you give us a little way that people can reach out?
Yeah, just contact patriotoutreach.org, and it'll okay. get to us if you have some direct questions for Reese and myself. And a final, real quick, a shout-out.
Yes.
Tomorrow, February 15th, is National POW Day. We got to honor those who made a great sacrifice.
Awesome.
One more point,
Reese,
if I
Lloyd,
may, in that limited time.
Real quick.
Representative Chip Roy, our Texas 21st District, has filed a bill entitled Service Restoration Act to prohibit adverse action against members of the armed forces who refuse to receive a vaccination. Everyone should be contacting that office and
Chip
supporting
Roy,
this bill by Chip Roy.
From Texas.
Chip
yes.
Roy.
All right. Why don't you, Tony, post that at patriotoutreach.org. Gentlemen, thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you for your service. And keep up the good work. We're going to be here to support you guys. We'll be back after this. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
It's your first day at work and you meet a new colleague. You've never met this person before, yet you have a positive sense you can't quite explain. Perhaps you're visiting a place for the first time and there's a magnetic feeling guiding you toward your destination. This is what many describe as intuition, an unexpected sixth sense about a situation or person. Often, intuitions pass unnoticed but play a key role in our everyday lives. The concept of intuition is often wrapped in mystery. Is it an expansion of spirituality? Well, from a scientific perspective, it has to do with your higher self. In fact, intuition is the invisible bridge between our conscious and unconscious minds. It involves information that you're not conscious of, and highly intuitive people gain insight without a known logical or rational process. In Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress at FHU.com, you will learn to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Expand your intuition and discover your true identity. Read Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress, at FHU.com.
How would you like to support the work of Roy Masters and the Foundation of Human Understanding? Well, the best way to do that is to get a web subscription. A web subscription allows you to log in and get the best that the FHU has to offer online. Exclusive web subscription includes AdviceLine radio program archive downloads, over 6 hours of video programs, over 20 popular audio programs valued at $200, New Insights newsletter PDF plus back issues, more than 40 insightful articles, special offers, discounts, and features. A yearly subscription is $120, and it's only $12 a month. Visit the website FHU.com and get your FHU web subscription today. That's FHU.com. If you've been helped by Roy Masters, please support him so that others might discover his message too. The web subscription is one way that you can do that. Again, visit FHU.com and order the FHU web subscription at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, it is Perilous World Radio. I'm Alan Masters. David Masters is here, and Bo Hansen. Bo Jangles, I almost called you Bo Jangles.
I thought Bo Diddley or something was coming out.
Anyway, Colonel Monaco told me the other day, he called me and said, "Hey, young fella." What do you call me? Young warrior? That's what he calls me. He says, "We're doing some good. We've been getting a few donations. I just wanted to call you and let you know thank you." And I said, "God bless you." God, and I got to say it out loud to the people that are listening. God bless you guys, because it takes money to do these things. And so patriotoutreach.org, if you have the inclination to help these men do what they do, it takes money. They don't pay themselves. They just it takes money to have a website up. It takes money to have a web person to fix things when your website goes down. It just takes money. And we here also run on donations. And, you know, it does. It takes money. I mean, just putting all this gear together and equipment together, it all takes money, time and money. So thank you for the volunteers. We have a lot of volunteers. Mike Jones, God bless him. He's listening, I know. Has spent a lot of time. He's been here almost every day. Even on Sunday, he came down and he was working. And Stephanie Carlson, who does a lot of our video work, was here trying to get our cameras a little more even, because, Bo, you're all blown out there. And my color is just about the way it should be, and yours is blown. David looks blue. I think he is blue.
I don't.
You look blue. Anyway.
I don't. I don't look blue.
Are there any comments that you've been seeing that we should bring some comments in, only because the other day when we opened up the comments, it was like crazy. You saw them all. You were on there, Bo.
Oh, yeah. We were having our own little discussion. They're just
just people saying, "Hey, what's up?"
Yeah, bringing some stuff up, saying, "Great job." Just requesting that we dance to the intro songs. You know, nothing too important. There was a good one posted here by, I can't pronounce his name, Famous Savon. He's a Chinese virologist and director. Dr. Li Meng Young says China is releasing hemorrhagic.
Now you're doing what I did.
I know you're thinking hemorrhagic, but it's hemorrhagic. Yes.
Yeah, hemorrhagic fever at Olympics. And I read an article about this several days ago, too. But
releasing hemorrhoids at the the Olympics.
I don't wish that on anyone.
If you watch the divers, you have to look closely and you can actually tell. Anyway, that's funny.
Are you sure? It's just not a – never mind.
It's just terrible. Swollen. Well, listen, you had a hemorrhoid on your face the other day.
My whole face felt like a hemorrhoid.
He could not even open his eye. You should have tried Preparation H on your face. I don't know why it wouldn't have worked.
By the way, I want to tell you something about that. You know, did you know that the Hollywood stars use that as a wrinkle
under
reducer?
Their eyes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and under their eyes.
The perfect place for it, by the way.
The eyeroids.
Nice. Yeah. No, I ended up using
aloe.
Yeah, I have fresh aloe plants, and so I ended up using it as a compress and constantly putting it on still. All my whole body, because I got it everywhere, except for the top of my head and the bottom of my feet.
Well, you know, I've had so much – there's been so much bad news, and then to have your one of your favorite people get hemorrhoids of the face, it was just – I couldn't bear it. I just felt really bad for you. Hemorrhoids of the face. I'm sorry.
Don't take pity on me. It's all right.
I'm going to post a picture of you with the facial hemorrhoid. It's really it's horrible.
Yeah.
David, help me out here, will you, please? It's Monday.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I think I actually hear something coming through. Hold on, wait.
Okay, what?
We interrupt your regularly scheduled program to bring you a message from the President of the United States.
My fellow Jamaicans, our nation is in a crisis. The Decepticon variant Hobo 19 is still killing fat people. Inflation is destroying our fart jars, and now that Ukraine is being sexually raped. That is why I've asked Congress to order a full-scale attack on Joe Rogan. Not Joe Rogan, the Russian guy. The guy with the shirt, Pootie Tang, man, he's a bad dude. We gotta come together, man. Get this guy. He's got our cranes. He's got all our cranes. We need him for the better build back. The build back bit of better. The better.
The video's the pretty
better build back. The bit of better build back better plan, man. You say it three times fast, pal. You say it.
Where does it come from, David? Enough. Enough. I can't take it.
No, what he is was that? Whispering. That's a guy named Kyle Dunnigan who actually is a Biden impersonator. I thought he did a great job.
Oh, we're going to have to play the video so people can see it. You saw the video.
How can you do that?
I made about 10 seconds through it.
10 seconds is all I could handle.
It's funny. Remember, this is a radio show as well. So people on the radio will go, hey, that's pretty good.
I don't know about that particular one, but anyway.
That's great. He's just a bumbling idiot. Our president.
Well, I got a little chat here I want to read.
Yeah,
just popped up by Abe Kono here. He said, I listened to Roy in 1985. Everything he said then, people said he was a crackpot. I believed what he had to say and sadly see it coming true more and more every day. It was an honor to have seen him in Culver City FHU office.
Boy, that goes back.
There's a lot of people like your dad's generation and stuff that have been like watchdogs. They've been warning people for decades. And, you know, it's just so funny. Just like America is not really doing much right now because it hasn't gotten bad. But everywhere else in the world, there's protesters. There's over 1 million people in Australia in one gathering. 1 million people. Can you imagine that energy? That's just when is it going to get bad enough here? Because it's going to get bad enough. I don't think there's any way to stop it. What's going to happen.
Listen, they rioted after they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
This is how sadly crazy Americans can be.
It's because we're animals, right? We're taught in school in this indoctrination that we're nothing but primordial soup that has evolved. We are animals. There's nothing different. So then they can treat us like animals?
A friend of mine went to he said when he was in school, he went to a museum and they showed the whole evolution from ape to man. He said, what kind of brainwashing were they doing to kids?
Oh,
I remember that.
It's worse now.
I know it is, but look how far back it goes. He's my age. He's in his 60s. It's been going on for a long time. A long time. And we are at the pinnacle. Something's got to change. We'll be back for another hour. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, it is top of the hour for the radio stations, and Mike Jones says, remember that everything you say in the commercial breaks goes out on the internet. So if you want to watch, you can watch us Monday through Friday, 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. And that's when we go live on the live stream that we're actually streaming the radio show now. And we tape it because we have so many radio stations that play at different hours of the day and night. Anyway, I'm Alan Masters, and joining me in the studio here is Bo Hansen and David Masters in his very sexy home studio.
Yes.
Is that the living room? What is that? I'm just looking.
This is sort of the it's my office, but it used to be, what do you call it? A dining room.
Back of a wall.
Because nobody does dining rooms anymore. Anyway.
Well, we are in what used to be a storage room that we've hung this backdrop on. It looks like we're somewhere in an L.A. night cityscape, which I think is cool. So we were talking about children and the whole dumbing down and twisting of the minds of children since even when we were children, David.
With
the evolution. Don't you remember going to one of the – I think it was in Los Angeles. I don't know. Maybe it was in New York. Wherever we went to one of these big
museums. It was the Museum of Natural History.
Yeah. And there was the ape, you know, dragging his knuckles on the ground and then kind of standing up a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more, till he was walking upright. And I remember how that messed with my mind because my dad taught me something completely different. God created man. But what is that? Well, who do I believe? The authorities, the teachers, or my father and the Bible? This is very confusing. Why would you want to confuse children like that? Why would you want to confuse humanity like that? I guess their angle was, we report, you decide. Here's what we think. You know, yeah. I mean, and that's the takeoff from Fox News.
Here's the thing.
The reality is, they're letting us decide. They're letting us decide.
No.
So
it's,
I guess
it's actually,
I decide.
It's more insidious than that, for sure, because even Charles Darwin, who produced
was his birthday yesterday, by the
was
way,
was it?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was his birthday yesterday, which is
Darwin on his deathbed admitted that there was no such thing as actual evolution. He called it natural selection. And by the way, the more informed programs that talk about Darwin always talk in terms of the natural selection aspect of it. Evolution is an idea, but natural selection actually happens among species every single day. There's a lake in an African country, I don't remember which one, in which there are 400 different species of fish that have sort of evolved, in a manner of speaking, but naturally selected so that they're slightly different. 400 species of the same fish in the same lake. That tells you that there is a natural adaptation going on all the time. They don't want natural adaptation. They don't even want you to think of it that way. They want you to believe that we came from monkeys to humans. That's crazy stuff. That's just nuts. That's like saying Jesus is God when he never said he was. And there's nothing in the Bible that even suggests it other than I and the Father are one. Well, we have some pastors at this point that are speaking up against this insanity that's going on in the schools, right? This is one black pastor, Dan Anderson, and he's saying we've got to end educational slavery. You got to hear this. Go ahead.
I'm standing here today as a black man and as a black pastor that pastors a church in South Phoenix that time after time after time, I've seen the educational system fail the black and brown community. I'm grateful to everybody who understands the importance of education in the African-American community. We speak often about ending systems, and we speak often about funding, but we never understand that there was a time in America where the black skin was considered funds. There were slave owners that didn't want to let go of their slaves because at that time they were financially into those black bodies. Well, here we are in 2022, and we have school districts that don't want to let those black bodies go because there's money attached to those black bodies. Nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room, and the elephant in the room is we have school districts that sit and complain about losing funding while all these black and brown kids are going to jail and going to prison. Nobody complains about public funds going to private prisons to incarcerate black souls, but everybody wants to complain about public funds going to educate black minds.
Now, he's talking about allowing for school choice, because school choice would mean that they could take those kids that need an understanding of a different universe, a one in which God is in charge, and that it's not a Charles Darwin universe, but a God-based universe. You can, you know, I sent my kids, Allison and I both decided back in the day that we wanted our kids in a Christian school. And so, you know, there was stuff in those Christian schools, it's just like everywhere else, but one thing they don't have in regular public schools is Bible. They don't have the Bible. Well, they had that in the Christian school, and they had a special class for it. And both of our sons, see, I'm always me-centric, I have to change that. Our sons had a great exposure to biblical ideas, not only from us, but from other people that they looked up to. That's what this pastor, Dan Andrews, is talking about. He wants to free the slaves, the mental slaves, right? Okay, got another clip if you guys want to hear it, because it gets even better.
I just want to hear Bo's thoughts, because I see his brain going
his brain's
about
percolating.
1,000 miles an hour. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just going back to the African cichlids, which is the fish that David was talking about.
Yes, thank you, Bo. This guy is
natural
adaptation. Encyclopedia.
I used to breed African cichlids, by the way. There's three different lakes and three different subspecies of them. But anyways, really cool fish, beautiful. They look like saltwater fish because they're so colorful. It's amazing.
Yes,
and
that's right.
They can cross with each other and breed. But yeah, interesting quote about education. Education isn't about the ability to remember and repeat, in which people study to pass exams and teach others to pass exams, but nobody knows anything. It is the ability to learn from experience, to think, solve problems, and to use our knowledge to adapt to new situations.
Where are you reading this from?
This is Richard Feynman.
Oh, okay, one of our listeners or viewers.
A quote, actually, I pulled up.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So I see you looking at your computer.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you were on the I thought you were on the chat.
No, education is
a big one.
You know, it's massive. On our children are the next generation, and they've been slowly but surely, you know, getting the family unit to fall apart, get mom out of the house so you can have two taxable incomes, and then the children have to go somewhere for their education now instead of, you know, one day a week at church and every day with, you know, at home being homeschooled. Now the children get to go to this factory indoctrination. You should be like just getting people ready to work in factories. They don't teach you to think.
But you know what's sad about it is if you don't live in the country, you don't have any much of a choice, do you? This is why my father for years said, get out of the cities. The cities are going to break down for years and years and decades. But he took his own advice. He did it. And he brought his family out of the cities and into small town USA. And now we're seeing what's happening in the cities. And I'm very thankful that my children have had the country, you might say, because they got to grow up hunting and fishing and doing all the things you do when you live in the country. When you're in the city, what do you have? You have the street. I was talking with David, our friend Bob Just, and I went and visited him. I was in New York. I don't know. It's been about 6 months now. And I went and visited him. I hadn't seen him in years. And the guy's like 70, I don't know, 1 or 2 years old. He doesn't look any different at all. He doesn't age.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen him in 10 years, and he doesn't age at all.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
He says, let me show you where I grew up. And so we walked down around the corner, and about two blocks, he goes, this is where I grew up. He says, you see this, you know, wall? He says, we used to play handball. You see this street? We played, you know, all different sports in the street, and we used to pitch coins and, you know, all the things that you do when all you have is the street.
Now you go there and you get shot on the spot.
You know, and it's sad to me that that's all these kids have.
But let me say
now
this.
Kids have got tablets and video games and stuff now. Yeah. So that's they're good. They you know,
so
they're perfect. They're working on their eye-hand coordination all the time.
They're rotting.
There's a film one of our listeners sent me, a guy named Jeff Lee, on YouTube called Terrain the Film, T-E-R-R-A-I-N. I started watching this, and they were talking about how the only way that you can actually take over society is to destroy the children and destroy the military. Well, what are we watching now? We were talking about it on patreonoutreach.org. They have the information about how they're purging the military. The children, they've been after the children for 50, 60, 70 years. But what's happening is there is a change of direction. You could see it. The truckers in Canada and other people, and really they thought they were going to get this great reset because of the COVID. What they've done is they've destroyed their ability to complete that work. It's all going to go backward now. You watch.
Let's take a break. Radio stations across America, thank you for taking our program. And now you can watch us on the live web as well. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water. You are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, you are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water.
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Well, it is Perilous World Radio, our website, FHU.com. On our YouTube channel, you can watch the radio show being taped. FHU is the actual YouTube channel's Foundation of Human Understanding. I got to put the whole thing in there on YouTube. Bo Hansen joining us and David Masters in the studio. Bo said, I didn't want to interrupt, so time to interrupt, Bo. What do you got to say for yourself?
Well, we were talking about evolution and just how, you know, of a farce it is. I believe in adaptation for sure. We see it all the time, and humans are great at adapting, but our DNA doesn't change. I mean, we can see this with dogs. Dogs only have 12 sets of chromosomes, right? But we have been breeding dogs very, very intensively for the last few hundred years. I mean, we've been breeding them for 2,000 years, but really intensively. We have a Great Dane that's 300 pounds, and we have a teacup chihuahua that's a half a pound. Their DNA still says dog. We haven't seen a new species of animal all of a sudden come out, and I don't think we will. But now, with CRISPR and with these experimental jabby boos we're taking, we're actually changing our DNA, and that's the goal of it, is to, this whole transhuman movement is combining us with this system, right? And that's how we're going to evolve ourselves, in essence, is what these people say and what these people think. And they truly believe this. There's people out there that truly believe that that's the next step for human races, to merge with the machines so we can take it to the next level. I'm sorry. I'm not going to – I'm not going there. Bo, I'm not doing it.
It's not just machines. It's animals and every other thing possible. If they if they found an extraterrestrial, they would merge us with that. They want to merge us with everything.
I mean, a lot of people believe they've already done that as well. I can't deny it. The evidence is there. I have never seen one personally, but the evidence is there. Yeah, it's very interesting how they want to change our – corrupt our DNA so bad.
But wait.
That's called a chimera, right? So a chimera is a scientific term of anything that's animal or plant or animal and human, right? And it's the number one research money that's been given out in the United States for the last 15 years is –
the
grant
Bible
money has
warns,
gone to chimera. As in the days
Bible
of Noah
warns,
shall be again, yes.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. You've got to
get there,
because
but, you know.
It is. And if God indeed flooded the earth, well, the earth, it could be the earth, if he did,
the earth,
it was because of the contamination of bloodline. So remember,
well, it says specifically,
the danger.
Specifically, yes. It says there, Noah's family was the only one with pure blood.
Yes,
it's talking about the DNA for sure, and that's the whole that's the whole purpose of the genealogy of the Old Testament, and keeping that genealogy so you can follow that pure bloodline back, because Christ had to come from pure bloodline. And
that's right.
To finish off on Christ, because we have some comments in here about Jesus not being God or being God. So to sum this up, the best way I can say this is that every characteristic that Jesus possessed and had was God, but Jesus doesn't have all of God's characteristics. He can't and be here on earth.
Absolutely. I had a conversation with my friend James today, and I think I have to give him the credit for this. He wanted me to call him to have this discussion about, well, what are you going to do when people start backlashing because you say Jesus isn't God? And here's what he gave me. He said, a person that believes that Jesus is God becomes the kingmaker. And if you think about that alone, just think about that. I am responsible, because in some way, shape, or form, I have decided that Jesus is God. I've determined that Jesus is God, and therefore, if I withdraw my belief that Jesus is God, I'm withdrawing some of whatever it is that makes Jesus God. That is a ego trip supreme.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. For me, Jesus is not the God, the entirety of God, but he is. There wasn't one bit about Jesus that wasn't God, though. Does that make sense? But he wasn't the entirety of him. There's no way he could be in this dimension and have every characteristic.
Well, first of all, can God be killed? The answer is it's not possible. The things of God can be killed, but that's not killing God. You can't kill God. It's not possible. It is an impossibility because God would cease to exist if you killed him. So what is it that people are thinking? I really don't understand.
It's not, they're not thinking, they just have been, they've been raised a certain way and listening to a certain thing over and over again, and that's just this regurgitation of religious rituals. My three R's I love to bring up because we see it everywhere. It's just, they don't even know they don't even believe what they're saying, they're just saying.
It reminds me of Valentine's Day or Christmas, and then they believe into these things, right?
Yeah. We believe what our parents believe. We're conditioned that way since we're young. That's where we get our first, perspective of the world, is how our parents see the world, in essence.
But I think that a person has to leave an open mind and say, here's what I believe, but I don't know because I can't know everything. Well, are many mysteries.
Look, we're here. The whole purpose of being here is to learn more about the Creator. That's it. And to experience and to learn what love is. And it's not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a personal relationship that's different for every single person. Now, how do you have that direct line? That's through Christ. That's through what Christ did for us, to accept that. We have to humble ourselves to accept that gift and realize that that it's about a relationship of being restored back with God.
We have one young man that was working on the show that says, I don't want to do that show anymore. They don't believe that Jesus is God. I don't want to do that show. That is offensive to me in the highest realm, because that's what they believe. And I thought, wow, that's heavy. That's heavy. He's not leaving any room for him to make a mistake. And guess what he's doing? He's judging his fellow human being. He's making a judgment that you are wrong, I am right, I know that God and Jesus are the same.
So he was emotionally triggered, right?
Emotionally
and triggered. Anytime
a young man, too.
Anytime that any of us get emotionally triggered in a certain way, don't even act on it, but we can feel it, that's like a mirror. It's like an option. We have an option to look into that. Why am I being triggered, right? Is it really?
I think it's a mistake, though. I think it's a big mistake because we agree so closely that Jesus is part of God. Of course, I am part of God. God is part of me. God is within me. And this temple he made, my body, is God's temple. And it's up to me to take good care of it and to try and use, to make my best choices, to use my life to glorify God, okay? And there's so many things I just don't know and understand. I wouldn't want to be that person that says, you are wrong. To hell with you for not thinking something. It's like, really? I just don't get it.
Yeah, let me see a lot of that condemnation a lot, and it's
chime
it's,
in here.
There's nothing
video.
Constructive about condemning. Oh,
yeah. There's a video on YouTube called "He Died, Went to Hell, Saw Hitler, and What Comes Next Will Shock You." I watched this video today, and the man who went to hell, and Hitler was being burned alive for every person that he ever murdered.
Ooh.
And he was angry about it.
All right.
Think about
that.
Anybody that gets angry.
Think about that. Take a little break and be back with more Perilous World Radio. Scintillating conversation.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. Listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Perilous World Radio all across America and around the world because of the internet. Now you can watch Foundation of Human Understanding on YouTube channel. And also you can watch the last shows because they will be on our YouTube channel as well. And welcome to all of our viewers, as well as listeners on radio stations across America. Our website, FHU.com, where you can find the meditation exercise, which will help you to calm yourself and to be still and to know, because we ask many questions. We ask all these questions and we just don't know the answers. But if you are still and quiet and calm, you may just hear the answers to many of the questions that you ask. Bo Hansen is here in studio, David Masters in his studio, and Phil McGeehan on the board at Radio America, Dave Milligan, our producer here in our facility, and the whole team, Mahi and Catherine and Brian and who else is there? There's Joanne and Jan, and I'm forgetting Mike in the mailroom and Bo and Hunter out there working away. We have a small crew of people that keep the foundation alive thanks to your contributions. So thank you very, very much for your contributions. We appreciate it.
Got a couple comments here.
Yes.
If you don't mind.
No, please.
Seems a couple people fired up. Ernesto's a little fired up. He says he's not going to go to hell for believing that Jesus is God and he'll see us on Judgment Day. And
I don't think he's going to go to hell.
I don't think
for
so either. No.
Why do you think that, Ernesto?
He says, Scripture says those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh are the Antichrist.
Ooh.
And for sure,
he's an educational slave. He's been educated.
There's no doubt about it.
Hold on.
There's no doubt about that. As far as Jesus came in the flesh, of course he came in the flesh. But see, God is omnidimensional, omnipotent. He is everywhere and everything at all times. And obviously Jesus was not everywhere and everything at all times. He had to come into the third dimension and live his life in this dimension on this earth. He had to leave the higher dimensions in the heavenly realms and come here. He had to do that.
Let me ask.
By the way, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not.
No way.
Condemning a person that believes that way. I'm trying to help you.
Believe, David, let me ask you this, because you're the one that started this rotten argument.
Yes, I did. James warned me that this would happen.
It's fine. These are good conversations.
Okay. Yeah, they are.
Do you believe that Jesus was with God before he was a man on this earth?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. It says that in the Bible.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says that God created everything through Jesus and for Jesus. Okay? Yeah. So he's creating this for his first creation, his first begotten son.
So do you believe, and this is an interesting one, or I should say, let me say it differently. What do you think? Were we all with God before we came here? Was our soul with God before it came
here? I think we're all little pieces of God. I think we're like these little – we're ways that God's experience and his creation is what I honestly at this point in my life, I really do believe. We're all got part of God in us, little pieces, bits of us that are God. And it's for us to realize that and to harness those things and to amplify those energies so we can spread and show people and be an example of love and what God is.
You know what's funny? Because our dad, David, didn't have like a talk show like this format. He was always kind of the answer man, right?
Yeah.
And he had, you know, a number of conversations with different people on their shows. But I remember a lot of times the talk show host would say, "Your dad is so hard to interview because he goes on and on, and because you really have to explain like creation and beyond for almost every one of these massive points that when they ask him a simple question, it's not a simple question. It's a very complex question." And here we have one of those very complex questions.
Yeah. And the thing is too, this topic is talked about actually quite a bit online, and you can go look at theologians and go look up all sorts of different people and get their opinions on it. And, you know, whatever resonates with you. That's what I'm going to say. If you're looking for the truth, and if you're pursuing the truth like I am, like constantly, my relationship with God is constantly changing on a daily basis.
Well, as you understand more, you have to leave the old behind and move towards
the
truth. Right?
You can't just be like, "Oh, yep, no, I said the prayer and I asked Jesus into my heart. Now I'm good to go. I'm done with it." That's not the whole point of it.
Right.
Well, I know for me, I still think that the moon is made of green cheese because I learned that as a child. I'm just saying.
Well,
I learned in 1960. are still true today in my head.
I tend to believe Dr. Seuss over most doctors, just so you know. So,
That's funny.
Yeah, another good quote here from Fred. Fred's always bringing up some good stuff. Fred brought up, he says, "Fluoride in the water, aluminum and barium salts in the air, chemicals like glyphosate in the food, and viruses in machine and animal." Yeah, we're being attacked from every angle, and this has been.
Yeah,
I like bringing up. I bring up the stratospheric aerosol injections to people. People still think I'm crazy, but that's fine because they haven't done any research on their own. And I know it doesn't take much to do a little bit of research, and the government's telling you that they're doing it. And they tell you what it is, and there's private companies that have tested, and private companies that make this equipment for the military. It's nothing. Yeah, I mean, 13 years ago when I started waking up to all this,
help me out with this one. Didn't the government seed radioactivity over the city of San Francisco back in the 50s?
Oh, I don't know.
They did it by airplane, and eventually it came out that this was actually done as an experiment to see what would happen. If the government can do it once,
Bo says the government can do it many times. When you see the jets going over the top and they're leaving this
the contrails,
what they call that, contrails. Mm-hmm. There's more going on there than
a condensation trail to disappear in less than 13 seconds. It shouldn't fan out and combine with other condensation trails and turn into a complete haze.
Yeah.
I mean, geoengineering, weather manipulation, modification.
You also said you did research.
Tons, extensively on research.
And there's actual budgets that they have for this type
of thing. Yeah, actually, I did a Freedom of Information Act. I applied for one back in 2016 to see how much money they spent on it. on this program, and the military calls it SAI, stratospheric aerosol injections. That's what they call it. There's lots of people that believe they're trying to block out the sun to reduce the amount of radiation the Earth is. I don't think so. I think it's a lot deeper than that, and it's there's a great book out by Dr. Steve Pichenik and Steve Quayle. It's called Weather Wars, and it is amazing. It's how countries have been at war at all time with each other, trying to control the weather. China has an artificial sun.
Talking about weather wars, what about InfoWars? What's going on with what's his name?
I can't think of Alex Jones.
Mr. Jones himself.
Yes, Alex Jones.
Yeah. Wow. What a great name for a show, though. Information. That's really what it is, because the truth is what sets you free. And if you're not getting the truth, that means you're a slave.
Yeah.
And that's why they've been telling us and indoctrinating us and all this BS and all these lies for so long. We don't even know science. We don't know history. We don't know math. This is bad. We've been completely dumbed down. It's like we're de-evolving if you believe in the evolution. And that's what they want, because we're easier to control. It's been like this in the history of mankind, right? The priest class has the knowledge, and the regular peasants don't have the knowledge. So they get worshipped, and so they don't question.
Well,
so
and also –
it goes back to that great quote.
They are dependent upon the priest class for information to inform their views of the world and so on. On that note, I do want to play the next clip of Pastor Anderson, I'm sorry, because
he's
talking.
But you know what? The priest class is actually – it's the other way around. The priest class is actually dependent on us. They need us, because without us, they wouldn't exist.
And the same way that the pastor is saying that the schools want those black bodies because it's money –
That's
their existence. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, let's play the clip.
Why is it that it's okay for public dollars to go to private prisons, but it's not okay for public dollars to go to private schools? We're in a situation right now where we're in a crisis, not COVID. We're in a crisis where we have a humanitarian issue, where we are seeing black and brown kids fall behind academically. And every year we're having school districts tell those black and brown kids, we're working on it. Well, how long do we sit back and keep working on it while the prisons in Florence and the prisons in Yuma are being filled to capacity? It costs $31,000 a year to incarcerate a black mind. It costs $15,000 a year to educate a black mind. Where is our money best spent? It's best spent in educating black minds. We're not here today to abolish and say get away from public schools, but we need a lifeline in the black community right now to say this isn't working. Let's at least give another opportunity a shot. I'm asking for everybody here today to vote to end educational slavery, because in 1864, we were chained to plantations, but in 2022, we're chained to failing schools.
Wow. Yeah, I've always told
Drew
people, too.
Anderson.
We didn't get rid of slavery. We just all became slaves. You know what I mean? Because by definition, you're in debt. Wow. You're a slave. And that's the way that it is. And if you rely on somebody for anything, you're become a dependent. You're a slave to that person, or you could become a slave to an addiction or anything like that. This is –
Well, and we, through our addiction to having things, to feathering our nest, on my Sunday conversation, I had a conversation about, you know, when you die – your coffin, you know, if you go to pick out a coffin, you're going to get one with the silk and the cushions and all the, you know, all the
comfort
stuff that makes you look,
comforts of home.
But you're dead. Who cares if you're dead? You know?
Wow.
It's like we think that we're going to take this little spaceship ride in this comfort pod that we buy for ourselves.
That's hilarious.
You know, and then the cars that we buy and we finance them 7-8 years, whatever you can finance them. You know, I mean, the thought of financing a home for 30 years to me was so scary. I thought, 30 years?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I did it. And then here I'm 23 years into that, and I'm thinking, maybe I should start over. Yeah, I'm 60. I'll live to be 90. My dad was 93.
Yep.
So I get that money and buy myself a nice coffin, and I'll lay down there and take a nice nap. And if I die, just close the lid and send
me
on
to heaven. Make sure it has a radio so you can listen to the show.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a little break. You're listening to Perilous World. Lots of scintillating conversation titillating. I don't think I can say that on the radio. We'll take a break and be right back.
Yes, you can.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of D-Stilin-No. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The D-Stilin-No exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
There is no escaping the challenges of life. Everyone has to learn how to deal with stress. The bottom line is this: if you don't control stress, stress will control you. Go to FHU.com. That's www.fhu.com. And find out how you can control stress.
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Visit www.fhu.com. Learn a simple technique that will change the way you deal with stress. For more information, call 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
All right, David, I have a little headline here that you actually brought to the table, which was Joe Biden braces for staff exodus as director of broadcast media quits.
Yep.
And I think to myself, yeah, this guy, remember I told you my Sunday talk was, I deserve this. So when he got to be president, he was like, I deserve this.
Yes.
I've been waiting so long. Yes. I deserve this. Now he's like, and he'll never get to that point where he says, I deserve this. You know what I'm saying? There's a different, you can say the same words with a different spin. He deserves what he's going
to get. Did you see him on, I think it was CBS News, when the anchor asked him about his Afghanistan policy? Did you see the pride in that man?
Oh, I deny that it was a bad strategy. I deny it.
What a freak job he is. He's a freak.
You know, what were you going to say, Bo?
There's just a lot of people out there that just don't know. You know, and you can't get – you got to remove yourself from the situation and look at it more of an observer and just not – don't let it affect your emotions and just realize that they're doing what they're doing for a reason because they have gotten there for that reason.
No,
and it's
right.
There is people out there that know what they're doing is evil and wicked.
Yeah.
And those people are truly wicked.
And then there's the Manchurian candidates.
That's right.
The Manchurian candidates are the ones that are doing it, and they don't even know why they're doing it. They're just doing it with all of the same passion that a person has that is doing what they love to do. But they don't know where it's coming from. They don't know why they're doing it even. It's the hypnotic states of Americans that my father writes about in his book, Hypnotic States of Americans. They're literally hypnotized. I remember, and David, you I'm sure do too, watching our dad having people put their shoes on the wrong feet while they're hypnotized.
In his hypnosis demonstrations, yes.
Yeah. They put on the wrong feet. And then he says, watch this. When I wake them up, they're going to make excuses for why they have their shoes on the wrong feet. So he says, all right, when I count to three, you'll wake up. Three, two, one, or whatever. Snaps his fingers, and they're awake. And he says, excuse me, your shoes are on the wrong feet, it looks like. And they're like, oh, no. That's how I always wear them. Nothing wrong with that. They're more comfortable this way. And it's like you're watching this going, really? This has got to be an act, a stage act. No. They don't know what they're doing. They've been hypnotized. They believe it with all their heart and soul. That's what you've got in our government right now.
Yeah. Can I give you a perfect example of that?
Yes.
Clip four.
Mm-hmm. The Biden administration now moving to make it easier for drug users to light up and get high on crack and crystal meth. A new program will hand out needles and pipes along with safe sex kits, reportedly to make drug use safer while promoting racial equity. Also, they want to hand out the pipes so you don't inject. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy is a Republican on the Judiciary Committee. And Senator, good morning to you. Does this work?
Bill, there almost aren't words in English. The Biden administration, they just keep on rocking it in the free world. I mean, every single day reality calls and the Biden administration just hangs up. I don't think when moms and dads lie down at night in America and can't sleep, they're worried about clean injection sites and sterile crack pipes. The issue, Mr. President, is crime. The issue, Mr. President, is how to stop it, not how to encourage it.
I love that guy.
He's
I love
great.
Him.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
I say.
That's right. he just calls it how it is. But the reality that a president of the United States would do something like this is ludicrous.
It's insane.
I honestly don't even know what to think about it.
It's genius in a way. It's just brilliant for, the president has been a person to point a finger at, for the world and for the American people at all times. These policies aren't written by the president. These aren't the president's ideas. We know it's just a little puppet game going on.
Right.
It's interesting to me. It's, this certain community back in the 80s with the drug wars. I mean, they were cracking down on the crack. I mean, like mad. How much taxpayer money did we spend to crack down on the crack, which actually only made it worse? And now we're going to turn around and spend money to give people utensils to get high.
You know what it is? It is pure insanity, but the idea is they're enabling. This is an enabler. Think about
it. It's anything.
It's like giving a horribly obese person, like that movie, the TV show, I should say, what is it, My 1,000-Pound Life or whatever it is. It's like giving them all new cooking utensils. Instead of trying to give them, a diet program or something. It just makes no sense whatsoever.
It does. If you can remove yourself from a situation, it makes perfect sense. Because you see the bigger picture. And everything starts to line up and make sense in a bigger picture. And you're like, wow. Like, how did I not know this earlier? And to realize that everyone around you, you're like, wake up, people, wake up. And you want to get, just shake them. But you look back, you're like, well, what do I not know right now? What am I believing that's not true right now? So you got to keep that open mind to it, because that way you can continually to learn every single day and be open to hearing things and have discussions. This is the whole thing about being triggered in words, not being able to use certain words. And they don't want us to have discussions. They don't want us talking, because talking is how we communicate and how we pass knowledge and pass truth from one person to another.
Twitter and Facebook
prove
that.
They want us 6 feet apart and our mouths covered so we can't have these human connections.
Right. Alan, isn't Jan banned from Twitter because of something that she said?
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
Completely banned. Yeah. And this is the sweetest person that you'd ever want to know. Banned from Twitter. Can't even have an account. But anyway, that's another story for another day. But when I see people with a mask on, and if they're making me coffee or anything, I say, would you mind pulling that down so that I can see your face?
That's a twist.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm going to do that from now on.
I went to the dentist the other day. I said, can I see your face? She didn't know what to do. It was a little embarrassed. I didn't ask to see a part of her body other than her face. But she was almost embarrassed to pull her diaper off her face.
Oh, my God. Give them bread and give them circus, and you can do whatever you want.
All right. That's about it for today. Thank you to all of our team here, Bo, David, Phil, David McGeehan. Is that funny? Phil McGeehan, Dave Milligan. That's a good place to say goodbye, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.